us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts now and always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I remember an incident when I was a child. I was playing hide and seek with my siblings, and I hid myself in a cupboard and locked myself in. For a few minutes, I was all right locked up in the cupboard, and then I felt suffocated and I tried to open the door, but I couldn't. The fear of death crept in, and I started to scream for help. I tried to grab my sister or my brother's attention by calling out, and finally, my brother came to my rescue. In our gospel reading today, we hear the disciples of Jesus being scared and fearful of death, and they are hidden behind locked doors. On Easter morning, they had heard from the weeping woman that Jesus' body had been taken away, and they was running back and forth from the tomb. It is evening, and they are gathered together in the upper room, just like the way they had gathered over Passover. The atmosphere in the room is full of fear and confusion over various matters. Fear grips them as they think that the tragic fate of Jesus may be theirs soon also. They are fearful of the Jewish authorities finding them as Jesus' body had disappeared. And they are also feeling shameful that they couldn't keep their word. They had promised to Jesus that they would follow him right till the end, but had abandoned him. But no hard doors could keep out the risen Lord Jesus. He comes in the midst of their fears and proclaims peace twice in the first few verses of our reading. Thomas is absent at this dinner. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," and he breathes on the rest of the disciples and commissions them to the ministry ahead of them in spreading the gospel of salvation around the world. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," which is really important for their ministry. I remember my own ordination journey when I committed myself into this. I knew clergy and bishops were tapping on my shoulder to explore the possibility of ordained ministry, but I did not want anything to do on my own strength or take anything for granted. I needed his Spirit to guide me and assure me that it is his will. I went on a 3-day retreat and I meditated on his word and prayed about it. I really felt his Spirit descending from above as I prayed, and that I knew that God wanted me to go on this journey. To do God's work, we certainly need the guidance of his Holy Spirit. We must absolutely try avoiding to do this in our own strength. Be it the ministry that you carry out here, doing readings or intercessions or arranging flowers or providing morning tea, we need God's Spirit in us to do the task with which God has called us to do. Jesus was giving the disciples their Spirit power and Spirit-guided mission to proclaim the good news of Jesus so people would believe and accept him. We are not provided with the details as to why Thomas was missing when first Jesus appeared to the disciples. But Thomas had his own way of encountering Jesus when it came to accept the risen Lord. You might have seen a sign in the shops, nice to look at, lovely to hold, but if you break it, consider it sold. I remember my mom's repeating words when we went to the shop when I was little was, look, but don't touch. Thomas is human like us, but he's much more interested in touching than hearing. Thomas was not convinced by his friend's testimony telling him that they have seen the Lord. He would not believe any rumors until those very wounds demonstrated the identity of Jesus. He would not take in even by his faithful companions. King George V once said, if I have to suffer, let me go and suffer alone. That was the attitude of Thomas. He felt more comfortable and safer in his misery. What can happen when we suddenly, perhaps unwittingly, close out the world and live in that kind of darkness and try to live by sight rather than faith? Thomas is prone to pessimism for whatever reason. Sometimes we come up with our own ways of somehow surviving life, regardless of what God says, regardless of who God is, and we begin to live by sight rather than by faith. But Jesus was not hard on Thomas for his doubts. Sometimes in our own unbelief, we take pride in demanding more evidence. Despite his unbelief, he was still loyal to others and to Jesus himself. When we read the Bible, we discover that many of God's greatest servants also doubted God. To name a few, Abraham did not believe that he was going to be a father at the age of 90. Moses doubted that God would provide food in the wilderness. Peter doubted that he could walk on the water. Occasionally, we might doubt too. But we should not leave our doubts for too long. When we experience doubt, take encouragement from Thomas. He didn't stay in his doubt, but allowed Jesus to bring him to belief. Probably, Jesus left Thomas to reflect over the next 8 days of what his friends have said. Jesus appears after 8 days, when all 12 disciples have gathered together at this time. Thomas was with them. Jesus graciously revealed to Thomas, despite his unbelief. Notice Thomas's confession after that. My Lord and my God. He feels sorry for the danger of his despair, and Jesus blesses him. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We also read in the scriptures stories of those who believed without seeing in Matthew's gospel. Jesus healing a bleeding woman after 12 years. It was virtually impossible for her to get close to Jesus, but she fought through the crowd and touched the edge of his cloak and was healed instantly. Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Move beyond curiosity. Faith releases God's healing power. We read about the Roman centurion who ran to Jesus when he heard that Jesus was in the town. He said, Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus asked the centurion, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replies, Lord, just say a word and my servant will be healed. Even Jesus was astonished at this man's faith and said, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This is the way of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. As Paul says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because of God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God's power, God's word will empower us to believe in God. You might wonder what happened to Thomas. History documents that Thomas was the first one to bring the gospel to my country, India, in 52 AD. Thomas was killed with a spear for his faith and is buried on a small hill near the airport in Madras in South India. One writer puts it this way: a fitting form of martyrdom for one whose faith came of age when he saw the spear mark in his master's side, and for one who longed to be reunited with his Lord. He is regarded as the patron saint of India. The feast of Saint Thomas is celebrated on July the 3rd as India's Christian Day. According to the 2021 population by religion, there are about 31.2 million Christians in my country. I am greatly proud of Apostle Thomas coming to my country to share the good news of Jesus. A man who initially struggled to believe brought these many to believe, and his legacy still continues. And this white stole that I am wearing, which was given to me as a gift from the Archbishop Philip Freer on my ordination, bears a cross called St. Thomas Christian Cross. Thomas had a personal encounter with Jesus because of his doubts and became a believer. If we think we are doubting and need God's help, he is ready to have that personal encounter with each of us today. All he requires of us is to come and believe in him. Amen.